JB raised his M4000 scatter gun, which caused the man menacing Doc to back up rapidly, his hands in the air.
Keep moving, friend, or I'll clear a path the old-fashioned way, right through your gut.
Okay.
The man stood back, allowing the trio to pass unmolested down the annex area to the entrance of the satellite MALSEC headquarters. As official members of the SEC team, each knew the entry code. Doc took the honors, punching in the series of numbers to command the door to unlock. No sliding pneumatic doorways here. The door remained open until Mildred pulled it tightly closed. What the friends found inside were two SEC men with M16s leveled right at them as they entered.
Oh, for Christ's sake. It's Mike and Ike.
Come on in.
Always good to see friends.
Rollins gritted his teeth, the grip on his comm unit close to breaking it. Around him, his remaining backup man and Ryan and the others cast nervous eyes into the darkness around the roof of Freedom Mall.
Report, and keep it short, Jameson.
The roof's on fire over here, going up fast, and we're pinned down by high-powered blaster fire. Can't get through the access hatch. Where'd they get the blasters, sir?
Where doesn't matter. Dealing with it does. Regroup your party. You'll have to move over and above to get to where we are. We've secured this end. In fact, we'll try and meet you halfway if possible. Rollins out.
They need backup.
I know, Carter.
Is it possible to go from one end to the other by roof?
That's the idea. We'll use the sticky fires to guide us. You ready?
You know I am. Let's move.
Both men stayed low until reaching the outcropping of the built-up skylight area, used to provide natural lighting to Freedom during daylight hours. Each of the men held their breath, waiting, listening for any type of noise to come. Jack and Christy were both close on their heels. Ryan eased out of the crouched position and turned to look beyond the elevated skylight edge. The air was still. He looked down through the skylight and saw even more fires burning within Freedom, along with looting and destruction from a panicked populace. The unmistakable smell of smoldering embers and burned bodies hung in the dead air.
No sign of anything out there. Inside is another story.
He turned to Rollins, who was also standing. The man had removed the radio from his belt once more. He turned down the sound of the device before thumbing the send button.
This is Rollins. Anyone else on this frequency? Damn it, Jameson, answer me!
You didn't say please, Mr. Rollins.
Who the fuck is this?
Does it matter? No, wait, stop, don't answer that. I'm sure you'll make a point of yammering on and telling me it does. I'll make it quick since I got them all to take over. All of your SEC boys on the roof of the south side of Freedom are dead. We used their heads for some extra burning fun. My new friends have been showing me all sorts of clever ways to kill a norm. Hair burns quick if you pour on some black powder or charcoal fluid.
Jameson, where are you?
I can't help you there, Buck. I don't know which one of those crummy excuses for a norm was the late Mr. Jameson.
Ryan took the radio from Rollins before the big SEC man could react and thumbed the send button.
Like the man said, who is this?
I know that voice. How's it hanging, One Eye?
Oh, you know what people call me, huh? Why don't you meet me and find out?
Sorry, can't do that. I'm not on the roof anymore. None of my stickies are on the roof. Like me, they're already down and inside the mall.
Ryan listened closely. The voice sounded oddly familiar somehow, but he couldn't place it.
See you there!
Ryan chucked the comm unit back at Rollins and hefted his Sig Sauer in a two-handed grip as he and his people moved forward. Shortly, they came upon the rooftop massacre. The security squad on this end of Freedom hadn't been able to repel the invaders nearly as effectively as Ryan's team. Five men and one woman were effectively scattered around, their corpses ripped into gory pieces or burned beyond recognition. The killing muties appeared to be long gone, except to Christie's advanced means of perception. Everyone else began to feel it too. Jack searched the fiery darkness with his ruby eyes.
Something not right.
I know, Jack.
And then the stickies suddenly came into view, leaping from their hiding places, coming out from the stairwell access or hanging down the walls of the front of the mall, and using their fingertips to adhere to the edge of the roof. Ryan was impressed and slightly surprised. These were tactics he would have bet a stack of Jack with a clip of ammo chaser to be beyond a sticky's mental capacities. Muties. Who could predict them, really? He'd met stickies like Charlie back in Colorado, who were so intelligent and crafty they could give Prater a run for his money. Or mutants with charisma, such as Lord Ka and his hypnotic third eye. Or even their most recent tussle with the formidable self-styled Pharaoh Akhenaten in the Barrens. All of them were crazy, dangerous, and gifted with mental abilities and insights that made them more of a threat than the traditional human foes he was so frequently thrown up against. Now here was another batch of stickies showing off, using hide-in-plain-sight tactics of combat. It was strange as hell, not to mention disturbing. However, while their tactics were something to behold, their hand-to-hand combat skills were as poor as ever. A few were holding rifles, but instead of firing them, the stickies were using them as clubs to swing and bash. Ryan's musing was interrupted when a short sticky slithered out from beneath an air duct vent's bottom slat and grabbed him by the legs, the long thin fingers adhering instantly to the leather of Ryan's thigh-high combat boots. He toppled over like an empty bottle, dropping his Sig Sauer to the roof's pebbled surface. The gun landed out of reach at a burning patch of tar as Ryan struggled to free himself from the mutie's deadly embrace. Its hand slid higher, feeling his legs and crotch, oozing the secretions that allowed their sucker-covered fingers to stick to almost any known surface.
Stop moving or I'll rip it off, Norm. I'll take that chance.
Twisting onto one side, Ryan drew his ponga from its sheath, the keen blade sliding out with practiced ease. He brought it down on the unprotected back of the sticky's neck. The mutie thrashed in shock and pain, reaching back with one hand at the injured area. Feeling the sucker-enhanced grip loosen around his lower legs, Ryan pulled himself and the ponga free. He rolled on his back now and kicked out explosively with his boot. The creature's head snapped back like a sprung trap, breaking its neck. Behind Ryan, Jack danced lightly off to the right, hurling out a series of leaf-bladed throwing knives. Like an arcane form of magic, a blade would appear in his hand, only to disappear with a flick of a wrist, then instantly reappear in the face or throat of one of the marauding stickies. Jack's keen, ruby-red eyes were designed for this sort of fighting, in near darkness, with the only light for illumination coming from the crackling fires. Christy lay down shot after deliberate shot, careful to conserve her ammo. Still more of the muties were coming, this time by rope ladder as far as Ryan could tell. Another smart move on the part of whoever had planned this attack. And some of the muties seemed to have a brain between them, since they were actually starting to lay down a covering of automatic weapons fire, killing Rollins' last sec man quickly and effectively. Jack ran out of blades and started blasting with his Colt till it ran dry.
Shit! All out!
We're getting outnumbered and outgunned! We gotta retreat! There's not enough cover to try and save the roof!
Off to one side, Rollins had one of the stickies by the neck. The mutie was using its uncanny adhesive-tipped fingers to return the murderous caress.
Rollins, watch it!
But Ryan was too late, as the sec man and the sticky fell over the raised edge of the mall's roof and down into the darkness. Mike grinned at Mildred and waved his gunpoint at her.
Nice blasters.
Thanks.
They for sale?
Nope. Get your gun off her.
I didn't ask you, Four Eyes. Besides, I owe you anyway for bashing me over the head.
You deserved it. Just wish I'd hit you harder.
Seems to me I'm the one with the bargaining power here.
Seems to me the two of you can't come up with half a brain between you, so what?
So maybe I chill the three of you and take your blasters.
Not too bright, even for you clowns. Have you been out in the mall? Triple bad scene.
Oh, we know. Things have gotten pretty hot up on the roof as well. Muties popping up like fucking rats. Falling around up there like rain.
Doc, what's wrong?
Mildred turned to Doc, who was clutching at his chest with both hands.
My blessed heart. My heart.
Doc staggered forward a single step before entering into a very convincing collapse. One hand dropping to the lion head of his sword stick. The sharp weapon came sliding out, and the old man slashed fast and hard with the revealed blade of the rapier, carving out red rivulets in the faces of Mike and Ike. Backing Doc's distraction, Mildred and JB each chose a target. As the two corpses stopped twitching, Doc rose carefully to his feet, dusting himself off.
Well, I am very grateful that the blood and viscera of those two traitorous sectmen have completely missed my coat and my beard.
I didn't like those bastards the first go-round. Told Ryan we should have chilled them then.
You okay, Doc?
Other than my poor bruised knees, I shall live.
Crazy move. Crazy suicidal move.
I am afraid you are the worst of influences, John Barrymore.
You two can compare notes on being heroes later. We've got to find Ryan.
Mildred turned to the heavy sec door that allowed access to the rooftop, but it swung open before she could reach it. Ryan, Christy, and Jack came through.
Good to see you guys. JP, we got a shitstorm on our hands.
Where are the other Freedom Sec men?
The ones worth a damn are probably dead. Rollins brought the casket upstairs. His backups did the same.
What next?
First, we get Dean.
The cell block attached to the Freedom Mall security force was known as the Wings. Why was a mystery, although Doc suspected the slang term might have origins in either the prevention of the prisoners from being as free as birds, or that it was more theatrical in nature, keeping troublemakers in Freedom off stage and out of the public eye by being locked away in the wings being a reference to the areas off the main stage to the right and the left. Retracing his steps of the daily visit he paid Dean, Ryan led the companions past the deserted admittance desk through a half door into a black hallway annex. He looked in the empty visitor center and waved his friends along to the rear section, where a heavy steel door with a U-shaped handle was closed.
Jack, is this the way that leads to the cells?
Yeah.
Mildred checked her pistol and eyed the door.
We going in?
Might have to blast it if the door's locked.
Try it and see, Ryan. Open the portal and let us see what awaits.
Ryan took the handle and pulled. Then he pulled harder, feeling the veins in his arm start to pop out against his tan skin. Christy touched his shoulder.
Try pushing.
I was getting to that.
Ryan pushed, and the steel door swung inward.
Shit! Where'd that come from?
No idea. You must have missed some sec turnoff switch.
You're the one who told me to push.
Well, other than being annoying as all hell, I don't think it's going to bring sec men running this way. They got more important things to deal with now than a kid's jailbreak.
Good point, JB.
Still, I shall remain back here in case we do have visitors.
Good idea, Doc. Hate to see all of us trapped or locked up alongside Dean. Had to be some poor bastard rescue. Christy, you want to hang with Doc too?
All right. Be careful.
Always.
I'll close the door. It might cut down on the racket back here. That alarm bell is somewhere out front.
Ryan nodded to Mildred and then led the way inside, his Sig Sauer drawn and ready. To his left was a blank wall with a wooden desk and metal rolling chair. On the desk were papers, a book of mugshots, and an ashtray filled with the remains of a score of hand-rolled cigarettes. To his right was the cell block proper. Six cells, three per side, separated by a narrow walkway, painted a chocolate brown. All of the cells appeared empty. As promised, Mildred pushed the door shut. The alarm was apparently meant to alert those outside of the cell block in case of a break.
Dean! You in here?
Dad!
Dean rolled out from beneath the bunk of the last cell. As Ryan jogged down the long block, JB examined the other empty cells, eyeballing their sparse furnishings in case another inmate had taken Dean's lead and decided to hide in plain sight.
You're supposed to sleep on those beds, Dean, not under them.
I know. Things been going triple strange. Once that alarm kicked off, I figured I'd hide until they knew the score.
Funny, all the other cells are unoccupied.
There's another batch of jails on the lower level. Heard talk when I was locked up earlier. Almost separated me and Dean.
Morgan promised me Dean wouldn't be hurt. I made it clear I didn't want my son having to deal with a bunch of horny pervs. I guess Morgan listened. Kept this group of cells clear.
Ryan stared down at the locked cell door. It was a primitive cell, the metal bars obviously brought in from an old police station and welded into place. The back wall was solid concrete stone, and so was the windowless left, the front and right sections being made of the bars, which were painted black.
Been nobody here but me for days. Boring as hell. Three meals and no conversation. What's going on? Where are the guards?
They got bigger problems on their hands besides keeping watch over a kid. Freedom's under attack by some angry stickies. JB, want to see if you and Jack can find some keys around this dump?
On it.
The two men went back and began looking through the drawers of the desk at the back of the cell block. Dean peered at Mildred through the bars of the cell.
You okay, Mildred? You look kind of sick.
Stickies are enough to make all of us feel queasy.
Stickies don't scare me. It's the people. I know you've already been face to face with those chilly, crazy bastards, Ryan, but all I've seen running rampant so far is a horde of rioters and looters. It's almost like they were waiting for an opportunity like this to tear down the mall from the rafters.
Yeah, well, you know how it is, Mildred. The more people you cram together, the more trouble you invite.
Just like crabs, we keep crawling back up and not